is, and I'm going to say this, and again, this is home cooking today. We're always talking about how people are trying to do things to us and move us in certain directions, especially when it comes to church. I'm just going to be honest. I'm just transparent more than ever today. Because church gets blamed for so many things that we don't even do. Because we're the church, not the building.
That's right.
So you're the church. Say, I am.
I am.
Say it like you mean it. Say, I am.
I am.
The church.
The church.
I am.
I am.
The called out one.
The called out one.
Oh, some of you not called out because you're not saying it. So you have to understand something. You're the church. The building is where you gather. But the church gets blamed for everything. So really, you're blaming yourself, but you don't know it.
Right.
Come on, you got to understand that. So what you have to now understand is this. Since the moment you were conceived and came out of your mom's womb, you've been brainwashed up until this day.
It's true.
The system is designed to brainwash you, to keep you in a place of ineffectiveness, to keep you in a place of dependency, and to keep you in a place where you are so rattled and so imploded with information about news, this news, that country, possible war here, that you live in a fear bubble, a fear-based society, and you're walking around, your mind is just being brainwashed constantly about things, constantly. And when you try to really relate to the kingdom or the word of God, it's almost like it's impossible for you. Are you understanding?
Yes.
Anybody ever been there?
Yeah.
It's like you're fighting and you know that there's a word for you, but you don't even have the courage to go get the word because there's so many things inundated on your mind. And it's like you're overwhelmed all the time. So when you come to the house of God, you come to a place where you get taught the word or preach the word, you fight against it. You say, you're trying to brainwash me. Well, you've been brainwashed a long time. I think it's about time you get it right.
Amen.
Come on, they've been brainwashing us a lot of years.
Yes.
This isn't just a slow process. It's a slow process to an expected end for them. So we have to start looking at what's going on so we can stop it and we can become who we're supposed to be.
Amen.
Are you understanding?
Yes.
As long as you accept where you're at, the brainwashing is working, because each time you get brainwashed, let's look at it this way. From the moment you were small, even up until now, the five things that they do all the time, they use, you know, what they call the seven towers of media. They use all those towers to somehow filter things into you, your home. Always. Communication somehow. Communicate. Then they just switched it and called it social media. Same thing. And people get on Facebook and somebody can write something and everybody run with it like it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving out free food here. You'll see it on 1,000 pages and you look up and there's a line over there for free food. Nobody ever said it. Nobody ever said it. Somebody just made it up. But they run with it like it's the gospel.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus said this. He said, this gospel of the kingdom. What are you saying, Pastor? There's other gospels out there. He said, this good news of the kingdom must be preached in all the land, and then shall the end come. You, me, and everybody else on this planet have been pushed into a place where we're going to be brainwashed until Christ comes, unless we know how to deal with it, unless we know how to fight against it. Every time you go to a movie, you're brainwashed. Every time you watch TV, brainwashed. Every commercial, every ad, every athlete that they tell is better than you, brainwashed. Everything about this world is to keep you at a place where you are so dependent that you refuse to show up. Oh boy. So let's look at a couple of things. Write these down, please. For people who don't want to take responsibility for anything in their life, these are five things you need to know as we get started. Number one, they never take responsibility for where they are in life. Never. You can talk to them about something, it's always somebody else's fault. I don't care what you say, it's always somebody else. I'm going to say some stuff here this morning, some things you'll agree with, some things you won't really agree with. The husband who is unfaithful always blames the wife. The wife who is depressed always blaming the husband. The black man blaming the white man. The white man blaming the black man. The teacher blaming the kids. The kids blaming the teacher. Leadership that fails, blame the staff they pick. Not the ones that are there, the staff they chose. The staff they chose, blame leadership. Everybody blames everybody for everything. That's the society we live in. And until you understand what's going on, you are in that society, whether you like it or not. Mentally, you've participated. Number two, they settle for employment and not deployment. They settle for employment and not deployment. Employment is making someone else wealthy. Deployment is you becoming a source of wealth. God uses you to become a source of wealth. So people who blame others, they always settle for employment and not deployment. That's why one of the greatest tragedies that ever existed in our culture, I'm talking about the righteous, those that serve Christ, is that we were inundated to teach our kids, grandkids, and everybody else how to get a job, but we never taught them how to start businesses. So we reproduce our failures into our kids because we tell them, go get a job. You need a job. You need a job. Well, why don't you start a business so they have something that they can have when you get older and your time is up?
Amen.
Why don't you start your own company so they'll have a legacy to hold on to when you leave?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Come on, Christ started a legacy and he handed it over to us. But we don't understand those methods, and we're going to get some better understanding today. Number three, waits for handouts and not a hand up. Waits for handouts and not a hand up. People who blame other people always depend on the government to take care of them. Always want some free this, free that, free this. And when you come by to reach your hand to help them up, they'll tell you, no, my leg's hurting. No, my back's hurting. Just leave me be, I'll wait. Why is that important? Jesus had the same problem with the man by the well, by the pool of Bethesda. Same issue. The man was there over 30 years. Jesus looked at him and said, don't you want to get better?
Right.
He said, you know, every year the angels stir up the pool. Do you know that it is biblically not sound biblically for the government to take care of you?
Amen. That's true.
There's no scriptural reference that says the government's responsible to take care of you. They have a thing in the government called the GNP. We know what that is, gross national product. Gross national product. In other words, how much work is going on, and then they measure everything off that. Why is that important? Because when you are in a system where somebody determines your worth, you become so dependent upon that system that no matter what they say and do to you, you are so consumed with everything that you bought in debt that you are willing to put up with anything because the finality of everything is the check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on, talk to me this morning. It's the check. So you put up with anything for that check because that check answers questions every month. And even at them degrading you. Why? Because we've been programmed to do that. You can go to most colleges, even when you take classes on business administration, very few. I talked to you about this before. I'm hearing this. I can say it to you again. Until you understand this, you are reproducing the same language and the same mindset that you were reproduced into to have jobs instead of being deployed. And what that does is it limits your effectiveness once you leave the earth to a place where your children go walk in your shoes and become the same dependent or have the same dependency on the same system. And they don't move forward. You were not designed to do that. You were designed to be business owners. We were designed to have our own businesses, our own companies, our own corporations. We were not designed to sit. You were designed to write books. You were designed to come up with ideas to solve problems. But as long as you blame everybody else, those things will never come to maturity. They will never show up. Number four, people who blame others suppress ideas and potential to reproduce the same environment for your family. Suppress ideas and potential to reproduce the same environment for your family. So in other words, when there are things that are going on inside you that you should move into, you won't move into because you're blaming other people. The ideas and potential you have, you won't even touch. But then you reproduced the same environment for your family. Well, I know it's kind of quiet in here today, but glory to God. This is some good stuff. We're going to need this as we move forward. And finally, number five, brainwashed not to challenge or test any negative words or thoughts about what you can become. I'll read it again. Brainwashed not to challenge or test any negative words or thoughts about what you can become. Brainwashed not to challenge or test any negative words or thoughts about what you can become. I need to read it again.
Yes.
Brainwashed not to challenge or test any negative words or thoughts about what you can become. You get brainwashed. So when somebody tells you what you can't do, what you're not supposed to do, what you can't do, you settle for it. You don't challenge it. You don't test it. You don't say, wait a minute, but this is really what I know I'm supposed to be doing. You just settle and say, okay, I'm just not going to do it because they said I can't do it. And guess what you do? You'll never become who you're supposed to be. So where did all this start? Go to Genesis 3:12. You're going to see, and we're going to see how God's going to bring us out of this. All of us have potential to be great in Christ. If you're born again, your potential is active. If you're born again and Christ is your Lord and your Savior, your potential is active. The problem is, and I said it before, we've been brainwashed. And we've been brainwashed a lot of years. That's why, and I talked about it, and I was in my prayer time, and I'm going to say this quickly. And my prayer time is different, so I can't really explain to you, but God, I hear him. That's all I can tell you, and he hears me. But I was asking him about, he was talking to me about marriages. And he let me know that marriages have lost a lot of their fervency because they've settled for texting each other instead of talking to each other. They settle for sending messages instead of turning everything off and looking eye to eye. And he said, when you initiated the covenant, did you not look eye to eye? And I said, yes. He said, then why? And he showed me something. If I send a text to my wife and I tell her how much I love her, but I send it in text form, it'll never have the same effect the way it would if I say it to her. Are you understanding? And then to substantiate it, to make it a lot easier for me to be brainwashed or to fall for it or to make excuses, I'll just add an emoji to it. Come on, talk to me now.
That's true.
I'll add an emoji. An emoji is a false representative of what I'm sensing. So I'm giving her an idea of what I'm feeling. So I'll send some hearts. I'll send a smiling face. I'll send a wink. I'll send all that. That has nothing to do with what I said. Not one thing. And the effect is lost. Because 9 out of 10 times, by the time she responds, she'll just send an emoji back. Or she'll just send a heart back. Has no meaning to her or any value, but it's just something to respond to what I sent. That's what marriages are becoming. They're becoming non-commutative. They're becoming non-affectionate. And they're becoming non-covenant. The covenant is now going through a phone, through texts, and people aren't even communicating anymore. And their marriages, they're losing value. So they find more value being on the computer all day. We've got to stop. We got to get back to talking to each other, turning the TV off, communicating, taking time, hearing each other, understanding our hurts and our pains and praying for each other. We've got to get back to it. Our marriages are on the front line every day. And we forget that because we're so busy being not busy. Genesis 3:12. This is after they disobeyed the Father and his commandment. This is the man and the woman in the garden. I know you're saying, Pastor, I know this. Well, good. We're going to know it again. All right? God asked the man a question. And after they bit, I'll go to verse 11, Genesis 3:11. And he said, who told you that you were naked? God, Adam said he was naked and he hid himself. And God said to him, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? What was the question? Who told you and have you eaten from the what?
The tree that I commanded you should.
Come on, read it. Have you eaten from the what?
The tree where I commanded thee that thou should not eat.
So those are simple questions, correct?
Yes.
Notice verse 12. Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. Did he ask anything about the woman?
No.
The woman did. Thank you for joining us today at Kingdom Ministries International. You can visit us online at kingdomfamilies.online or call us at 754-229-5641. We would love to hear from you. Remember, the kingdom of God is within you.